Beyond the Mic with Sean Dillon.
We're joined on the start line by singer-songwriter, two-time entertainer of the year, multi-gold and platinum-selling country music star. We welcome the pride of Jacksonville, Texas, our friend Neil McCoy.
I appreciate you knowing Jacksonville. That's where I was born and raised. But I live in Longview and have for a long time, so a lot of people say Longview, and I like them both. But I always appreciate when Jacksonville gets a holler out.
Neil, let's go beyond the mic. On January 7th, you have said the Pledge of Allegiance every day for 10 years on social media. Why did this start?
You know, it just started in early 2016. That's going to be the year that Republicans and the Democrats will nominate who's going to be running for office. And they had already started kind of, I could see where it's headed, just like all these elections are headed. They're fighting amongst themselves. And then when they get one, they're going to go beat up each other. So I just got in early on and I said, you know what? It really doesn't matter who gets in administration. In the whole scheme of things, one change here, one change there, doesn't usually change our lives much at all. So I just thought, you know, I'm gonna have an opportunity to say the Pledge of Allegiance and that I'm going to show my respect for our flag and our love for our country. So I started doing it. Next thing you know, we got a lot of people saying it. But then people are starting to dig a little deeper. They go, are you dying? Do you have cancer? How come you're doing that? I said, no. I just thought it would give me an opportunity to show people we love and respect our flag. And little did I know that there's a lot of people in this great country of ours that still want to say the pledge also, pledge their allegiance to the coolest country in the world.
How does it feel saying it?
You know what? I'd always been a guy that was pretty patriotic by raising. My mother's from the Philippines. My father met her in the service. And so I always understood the July the 4th and what Christmas was about. I was that kind of kid. And so when I started saying, I remembered back in the younger days, elementary school, at least down in Texas, a lot of it, the teachers would almost choose a new person every day to go out and raise it. And then they choose a different person, another kid to come down and take it off the flag that day. So that was always cool. So when I started doing it, and people were starting to catch on to it, they were going, hey, I'd love to say it with you, Neil, but I just don't know that I remembered. I said, I promise you, it's like riding a bicycle. You just say it one time and you'll be right there with it. It's 12 seconds.
You've partnered with Allied Flags for the Neil McCoy limited edition flag. How did this idea come together?
They make about 5,000 flags a day out of Kansas City, all American made and made extra tough and just a great quality United States of America flag. Somebody had found out about them. They knew about my Pledge of Allegiance to the flag every day. And they just got us in touch with each other. And we kind of ended up standing for the same thing, saying stuff about, and we just thought it would be a great relationship or partnership. And it has been. They have provided me with flags around at my little ranch and my house. And so I've had the opportunity to talk up about that to some of the people that follow us every day. And they said, well, where do we get that? How can we get a flag? And I said, well, you can go to AlliedFlag.com or NeilMcCoy.com. Now, I would recommend NeilMcCoy.com because I'm going to sign those collectible boxes if you buy it from us. But Allied still, they'll take care of you. I promise.
You've been on many USO tours around the world.
Yes, sir.
Why is entertaining our troops so important for you?
Well, I know my dad was overseas. He got out of Texas A&M in 1952 and had his diploma and his draft papers about the same time. He's supposed to go to Korea and found like a lot of great men were doing. And I was always a big fan of the Bob Hope USO shows and those thanks for the memories of Candlelight and Wine, Castles on the Rhine. I just thought that was so great to me because I loved seeing those old takes from Bob Hope and watching the joy on the people that were helping take care of our country out there amongst the world. And I would see they'd bring in the beautiful girls and the way those guys would almost be so silly over them. And I just thought Wayne Newton had kind of taken over the baton from Bob Hope to become the new director of the USO and bring those two. And he reached out to me early in 2001. And I've done 17 USO tours all over the world in the last 23, 24 years. And it's just something I know, appreciate. My dad was one of those service guys that would have been in the audience and having people bring them talent from home was a big deal. So I always thought, man, if I ever get that opportunity, although I never served, a lot of people would say that, well, you are serving. You're serving in a, just a whole different way. When you go over and thank those troops and stuff and hug their necks and shake their hands and perform in front of them, you're doing your the best you can do of your obligation to commit to the country. And I said, that's right. And so I should feel better about it. And I did. I now, because people, if I run into people that I saw in Afghanistan or Iraq or any of the different countries around the world, they'll say, man, we can't thank you enough for taking the time to come over here. And I said, boy, you don't have any idea how much it changed our emotions about what you guys and girls do day in and day out, some of you.
And you'd go again in a heartbeat.
Yes, sir. A heartbeat. Wouldn't take that long.
Neil McCoy joined us to be on the mic. Time for the Rocking 8 random questions, Neil. Just trust your first instinct. There's no pressure.
Okay.
For 45 years, your wife, Melinda, has been the light of your life. When did you know she was the one?
You know, I don't know. I know it's a quick question. I know sometimes you don't exactly know. You've got a hunch, but then if you get into it and you stay longer, then you kind of do figure out, you know what, she was the right one. And I probably would have screwed that up if I wouldn't have realized it a little earlier than I did. But again, 45 years, some people ask me, you know, how do you keep a relationship or how did the kids? I said, all the congratulations should go and all the support could go to the spouse of the artist. Because I promise you, we're gone a lot of times and they're having to handle all that stuff. So 45 years, and yet we're still married, still going. Not bad for an old country guy.
Once you've reached a goal, what's the first thing you do? Do you celebrate it or do you set a new goal?
You know, it depends on what you set that goal in. But from a music standpoint, and I'm in the music business, I think you definitely celebrate it. But then again, I think you move the goal. I think you scoot the goalpost back. And I think you continue to do that. And some people were going to, you know, some people would disagree with that. But if you make a touchdown and you did it, you got there and you're still happy, set another goal. And we have continued to do that. But I think by doing those USO tours that you mentioned a while ago, that was a goal I never knew that I would have an opportunity to reach. But now, and people also will say to me, what's the best shows you've ever done, the ones that mean the most? And I tell them, anytime I've been across the world and entertaining our troops, even if we don't get a chance to sing, but you shake hands and hug necks, I think then that's all. I remember all those USO shows. There's some great shows we've done, but none of them, I think, fill my heart as much as the USO tour.
You've toured all around the world. What is the most underappreciated place to play?
Wow. Well, in my growing up, people would say, man, don't play your hometown because everybody knows you. Nobody cares because you're not special to them. And so you would think I would say my hometown, but that is not the truth. Everybody from Jacksonville and Longview, most of them love me and pull for me. So what? I can tell you the worst show we ever had. This is my personal opinion. It was before I had any hits. It was in Sarepta, Louisiana, where Trace Atkins is from. We played a little small club, and we got up, sat up in a little small corner, just a tiny honky-tonk. And we started, and not one person in the audience even cared that we were there.
Wow.
And I mean, they never – I was talking. I was doing all the dancing. I was the monkey out front clapping cymbals. I was doing it all. And then I figured about 30 minutes in, they don't know us or like us. So I turned to the band. I said, one of y'all got to watch. Let me know when that contract that we signed up for is over and we're getting the hell out of here. But now we've been back to Sarepta and they treated us pretty good. So that was early.
Time for the hardest question known to man. It's yes, no, or maybe.
Yes, sir.
Neil, are you happy with the current state of country music? Yes, no, or maybe.
Maybe. I do understand it's not what we did in the 90s, but also you're a maybe?
I'm a maybe.
Okay, me too. Because I can tell you, people, when they interview me, expect me to hate the new country. And some of it's not that good, but some of it wasn't that good when we were in there either. But I can tell you, I have no right to say, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that. That's a silly song or it's stupid or I don't like it. Because I can only imagine when I was cutting stuff like slam, bam, I'm feeling all right, or shake it to the left, shake it to the right. I guarantee you, when I was doing that, George Jones, Charlie Pride, Merle Haggard, call me tweeters are going, oh my gosh, we don't have room for that in here. So they probably didn't like it then. And the stuff, I'm not going to dog anybody. This is a very tough business to be successful and stay successful in. So everybody that is, they're still working hard.
Favorite thing about the rain?
Oh, about the rain. Wow, I had a song called Now I Pray for Rain that I thought was going to be a big monster hit. Listening back, it's still a great song, but it was starting to gain popularity. And then we played in the middle of the United States of America when we had a lot of floods that year. And so I could only imagine that people were getting flooded out, and the last thing they wanted to hear was Now I Pray for Rain. So I think that didn't help us with that song, because there was no one ever requesting, I promise you, when it was out.
Best place in Longview to get a bite to eat.
Man, there's a lot of good ones. And I am a Papacitas for Mexican food, Juicy's for hamburgers, and I think that's all there is, really. Italian, Olive Garden.
What was your first guitar growing up, and do you still have it?
I don't. I didn't play guitar hardly any when I was growing up, and then the more I played it, the more I hated it. Because the reason is, because I've seen people just use it as a prop, and it is a prop. But when I'm on a stage, I want to entertain you. So I want to engage you. I want to open my arms to you. And with a guitar on you, you can't do that. So and I do tell people this too. And I just say, when people say, do you play an instrument? I say, no, I just work with what God gave me. I just work right here with what God gave me. I said, you can teach any stoop to play an instrument. You've seen Deliverance, hadn't you? That old boy played the banjo. So I said, so y'all can all learn. You can't learn this. You have to have that.
How has the East Texas Angel Network changed your life?
Oh, you know what? Even more important than that, it's changed a lot of lives outside of ours in Northeast Texas where we live. And it's a foundation my wife and I started 31 years ago. And in the 31 years we've been doing it, we've raised over $15 million to help children around our East Texas area with life-threatening or life-challenging illnesses. And when the way we book those shows, it's a golf tournament and then a corporate dinner for sponsors, live and silent auction that I host. But the next night is when the concert is. And I didn't know how I was going to get any people come to perform in our concerts. And so I basically said, hey, can you come do a concert for us? I promise I'll come do one for you when you need us to. And that's how it all started. And that's how we've done over the years. And we've had people like Wayne Newton and Blake Shelton and Martina McBride and just a ton of Pam Tillis, Tracy Byrd, Tracy Lawrence. They've all donated their time, and in respect, they have said, Neil, when they've had something, will you come do our show? But man, it's just, yes, it only makes sense. But it's a foundation that a lot of people don't know about. But so I always appreciate anybody that brings it up. We have helped a lot of families in our home area, and then that just fills our heart up also when we're able to do that.
Neil McCoy joined us Beyond the Mic. He wants you to get a Neil McCoy limited edition flag. We'll talk about it coming up in a second. But it's time for the impossible question, Neil. You can make one change in the world, but lose your voice forever. What change would you make?
Oh, my gosh. Man, I don't even know how to answer it because I get depressed if I get catch laryngitis or... So I would, but there's a lot of stuff. As goofy as this sounds, and all the beauty patterns I used to watch, Peace on Earth, which is a stock answer. You know, you say that I'm using it here, and I'm exercising that same thing. Just so everybody get along.
Let's sneak in a couple more with Neil McCoy. Neil, you're being honored with the Spirit of Texas Award during the 2026 Cowboy Hall of Fame induction ceremony this year. What does this honor mean to you?
It means a lot to me. I'm not a cowboy. I wear Wranglers. I wear a hat. I have a few horses. I raise cows. But I think the reason they're putting me in is hopefully I'm born and raised in Texas. And you know the old saying, you can tell a Texan, you just can't tell them much. So we are very loyal. We're very loyal to us. So to be inducted into the Texas Cowboy Hall of Fame, there's a lot of really, really good cowboys that work in the cattle business. And just everything to do with the breeds and the different horses that are real cowboys. But I don't know. I think I am on display sometimes to honor those people and to show the spirit of our wonderful state. I think that's why they chose me to do that, because we want to show you that I'm proud to be a Texan. And once you once you're born and raised there, it's all you know. So my spirit, I think, does come to me from up above, but he's put me in a spot to where I can share that with a lot of people, and that just happens to be Texans first, and then the rest of you.
Patriotism rose after 9/11 after it had been fading for a while. Mm-hmm. Why is it important for people to be, in the words of fellow artist Lee Greenwood, proud to be an American today?
I think if everybody will just relax and quit hating each other so much on both sides, then you'll really figure out why it's so great. It used to be that way. And I think patriotism came, like you mentioned, was upheld so strong after 9/11 because somebody attacked the United States. They didn't just attack one side of the United States. They attacked the United States, and we came together. As sad as this is to say, if we had another attack like that, we would all be right back together again. So I think if people would just relax, it's checks and balances. The administrations are checks and balances. You'll load up here, and you'll say in 4 years we get an opportunity to move it back here or whatever. So just relax, understand, at least this is my philosophy on it, that when something changes or something does or something that, in reality, it doesn't affect me much at all. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. This is how I live. I'm not going to live outside my means. So I'm going to still be able to provide for my family and do what I can. So when something gets you up in a roar, just think, you know, what am I roaring about? That's not going to bother me. And I may bother somebody, but it's not bothering me or my kids. So just relax a little, I think.
Is there something from home that when you were touring that you had to have on the road other than your wife?
Well, yeah. And I would even give her up now for the grandkids. Don't play that in Texas. Don't play that.
You're going to get in trouble.
I don't know what it'd be. Maybe my favorite food or favorite pizza, Pizza King.
What country music personality doesn't get the respect you thought they deserve?
I think I'm one. And I don't mean that, cocky wise. I just think we still, but I know the lane I'm in. I do know that. And I am so happy to be in the lane I am and be comfortable where I am. I'm not trying to garner attention like some of the big stars are doing. I feel great where I am. But I think I wish I'd have been younger when I had my hits, because I'm a lot clever and wittier and much cuter than Blake Shelton. He wouldn't have had a chance if I was his age.
How do you see country music right now, and who gives you hope for the future of the genre?
Man, I love the Kojos, Cody Johnson. I think he does a great job. And Jelly Roll, you know, I like Jelly Roll. I think some of these guys are getting shot up so fast that they will be shot down just as fast because what the kids are doing, and this is just my take on it. I think the younger kids, they all want to find the next act. They don't want to follow. So if somebody comes to them and says, hey, man, have you heard Cody Johnson? Yeah, but you know who I like? At Aaron Watson. You know, I don't know. But so everybody's got their own person. So they are not as loyal followers as country music followers were at one time. And the last thing I think that people really liked, Neil McCoy, was in the 90s, when all the action 90s with the Nashville Network and different country music publications were going, they could find out about all of us. And if they liked you, they liked you. If they became a Neil McCoy fan, they were a Neil McCoy fan, not just because he did Wink or the Shake. That was just icing on the cake. They liked Neil McCoy and what we stood for. Now the acts go up and down so fast, these people won't get to know. They don't know the ins and outs of Jelly Roll or Post Malone or some of these other people. So I think that is the reason that at 67 years old, we are still relevant in our own lane, because people like us and they don't. I promise you, in 30 years, no one's going to be listening to Jelly Roll or Post Malone or maybe some of the younger kids, because they just don't know them like they knew us. They were our fans, not just our music fans. They were our fans and they got to know our families, and they just liked us.
It's time for one big question with Neil McCoy, Beyond the Mic. What's your favorite memory from your time with Charlie Pride?
Man, there are a ton of them. I will tell you what. This is because people always say, what was Charlie Pride? And I use this story. I've used it a few times. I said, let me tell you what we did one time. I was traveling with him. I was opening his shows. And then I would just go on the side of the stage and watch his shows. And he was goofy. He was fun. He was, you know, and that's what I loved about him. I think probably helped shape me to be that goofy, fun kind of personality too. But the thing I most appreciate about him, this is how much he loved his audience. We were eating upstairs. It may have been Hunter Mountain, New York, I think. There's the band and I, and Charlie was sitting there. We just sitting around eating. And we're talking, just chugging it, but hardly anybody in the room. There was a guy about two or three tables over by himself sitting there. And Charlie, we were just talking. And when Charlie got through eating, this guy came over. And he said, and Charlie never looked at him. He said, Mr. Pride, he said, I owe you an apology. And Charlie never looked up. He said, oh, yeah, what's that about? And he said, well, he said, 2 years ago, you played the Something Something Fair. And he said, you told us from the stage that you were going to be in a hurry, that you needed to leave as soon as, because you had to catch a plane and get to somewhere else. And he said, and I want to apologize to you. He said, yeah, I know why you want to apologize. He said, how would you possibly know that? He said, I'm going to tell you. He said, I walked off the stage and they had a limo there for me. As I was getting in a limo, I looked at you and you gave me the bird. He said, you flipped a bird at me. And that guy said, yes, sir, that is exactly right, because I thought you were just making up an excuse not to sign autographs. He said, but I looked and I knew, I found out that you had to get on a flight and you had to get it to get to another show. And there was no way you were going to make it unless you left then. And Charlie said, yep, that's right. And what amazed me is Charlie remembered that hurt him so bad that 2 years before that, as he was getting in a limo rushing, he remembers that face of that guy that shot him the bird. And I just thought, that's the greatest thing I've ever seen. And that guy, I couldn't believe it. He said, no, I remember you. You shot him. And I thought, that is a person that cares. And we should all care about our fans and our audiences. Because if we did, there'd be a lot better shows out there. And some of these artists would quit mailing it in and going for the check. And Charlie taught me that at a young age. And I would tend to say, I haven't mailed it in the last 40 years. I approach every audience the same way. You're going to get all we have, and we're not going to do an encore. I tell them that, too. I said, if you like us, don't holler one more, because we ain't doing one more. We got it. I'm old, and I'm tired. I'm going to bed. Get out of here.
He loves Papacitas in Longview, hates playing the guitar.
Yes, sir.
And wants you to get the Neil McCoy American flag. Where can people find it?
NeilMcCoy.com or AlliedFlag.com, but at NeilMcCoy.com, when they get it from us, I'll autograph the boxes, and then you can go buy some Neil McCoy 10-year anniversary memorabilia also for the flag.
Neil, thanks for taking the time to talk with us today.
You're welcome, buddy. Thank you.
And that, my friends, is Beyond the Mic.
If you're enjoying these conversations, please check out another Beyond the Mic episode to find more actors, artists, and people you need to know. We'd also appreciate a like and subscribe on the Good Pods app.